Well, thanks, Craig. It's good to be here tonight again for another opportunity just to preach God's message. We're just thinking in our prayer meeting just before this service took place, you know, we've got a message of good news tonight. And we're thinking that all the sad news and the upsetting news, the depressing news that surrounds us in the world. And, you know, it's great that in the midst of all that, God has still got a message of good news for us. I just want to read one little verse to you tonight from the Bible. If you've got a Bible, you can feel free to read along. If you don't have a Bible, it is only one short verse. It's found in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, which is the fourth Gospel in the New Testament. And we'll just read a little caption at the beginning of verse 7, but it's really verse 9 that I'm going to speak on tonight. It says, "Then Jesus said to them," in verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Then Jesus said to them, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." And we do know tonight that God always adds a blessing to his holy word. You know, the Christians here, and along with myself, you know, we believe that the Bible from which we've read tonight is the Word of God. It's no ordinary book. It's not merely a book that has been written by mere men. It's not only a book that, you know, has come through ages of men changing it and things like that. You know, we believe tonight that this book that I've read from tonight, these few short words that I've read, are the Word of God. But you know, I think it's very nice when we come to the Word of God and we can read statements like this, when we actually hear the person of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and we hear him saying that Jesus said unto them, "I am the door." You know, the message that we bring to you tonight is not a message that I have concocted. It's not a message that has been concocted by the men and women that meet here in this hall. It's not a message that has been concocted by any Christian organisation. The message that we preach tonight comes direct from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the door." If the message that I come along tonight to preach to you was one that I had merely thought up in my own mind, if the message that I've come along to preach tonight is just one that has been concocted by the men and women in this hall, or if the message that I preach tonight just comes from a Christian organisation of such, then you know, you could really take that message and you could just ignore it, and you could just really put it to the side and you could disregard it, and no one would think any the worse of you for that. But tonight, the message doesn't come just from me tonight. And the message doesn't just come from this little group of Christians that meet in this hall. This message is coming directly to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ actually spoke these words. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ spoke these words in a different language. But nonetheless, he spoke these words, and Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Those words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And because those words were spoken by Jesus Christ tonight, then we need to sit up and we need to take note of them. So you can ignore what I've got to say tonight. I'll not be offended if you ignore what I've got to say. And I'm sure you can ignore much of what the Christians meet here say, and I'm sure they wouldn't be offended if you forgot what they said and ignored it. But one thing is true tonight: we cannot ignore what God says, and we cannot ignore what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And so tonight, I urge you at the beginning of our meeting that you sit up and take note, because Jesus Christ is speaking to you tonight. And Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. I am the door." You know, Jesus said many statements about who he was to give men and women an idea. And a couple of weeks ago down the road in Auchinleck, I was speaking on the little verse that's perhaps more well known, when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I noticed when I was driving in there this evening, you've got up in your text on the side of the wall here, and no doubt you've read it many times. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And these are little statements that come from the Word of God when Jesus tries to tell us who he is. And tonight I want to say that Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the door." You know, this message tonight is simple. This message tonight that I've got to preach is straightforward. This message isn't for intellectual people and intelligent people and brainy people. This message tonight is for every single person, from the little children in this room tonight to the oldest adult with us tonight. This message is simple tonight. Simple to grasp. We all know tonight what a door is, don't we? We've entered numerous today, and in order to come into this very room, you've entered through two doors. And Jesus doesn't use complicated things to try and tell us his message. Jesus doesn't use complicated messages to try and get over what he's trying to say. Jesus uses real things. Jesus uses things that we can relate to, things that are easy for us to understand. And in this verse, it's no different. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, I really thought that the door really represented three things. I thought that there was three things that the door represented. One being that the door represents salvation. Jesus said that, didn't he? Jesus said, whoever enters in through the door shall be saved. And the door not only talks about salvation tonight, but it talks about separation, because a door separates tonight. That door that is shut there has separated us from the people that are outside. And in our homes, one door separates a room from another. And it's no different with this door. This door separates one group of people from another. And not only that tonight, but we've read that those who go in this door, they go in and out and they'll find pasture. This door provides satisfaction tonight. And so there's three little headings, simple to understand, I hope. We've got a door that provides salvation. We've got a door that provides separation. We've got a door that provides satisfaction tonight. And so as I bring to you this message, I want you to remember that this message comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say to me, well, why should I really sit up and take note of what Jesus says? You might say, what was so important about Jesus that here and now, 2,000 years after he died, that, you know, you expect us to listen to what he said? You know, what Jesus said is important because of who Jesus was. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't just an ordinary human being like you and I tonight. Jesus Christ was totally different from us. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was none other than the Son of God. And that was prophesied to us in the book of Isaiah, when it could be said, unto you a child is born. We think of Christmas time and we envisage that little baby wrapped in swaddling bands and lying in a manger, and we remember the little child that was given. But it was followed by this, unto you a son is given. And whose son is he? He's the son of none other than God himself. Jesus Christ tonight is the Son of God. And you might say to me, well, you know, there's hundreds of people who have made that claim, and so they have. And there's still people in our world today that try and say they're the Son of God, and sometimes they try and tell us that they're Jesus, come back from the dead and things like that, and most of them end up in psychiatric units. But, you know, you might say to me, what made this man different? What's so credible about this man that you think you actually believe tonight that he was the Son of God? What did he do? What did he say? How did he live that marked him out as different and that would make us believe that he was none other than the Son of God? Well, you look at the way this man was born. This man was born totally different to any other human being. This man was born different from any other. This man was born through a virgin womb. Through a woman that had never known a man, and yet she brought forth a child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and brought into this world. So as regards to you and I tonight, this man was totally different, born a totally different way. Born absolutely sinless. Born absolutely pure. The Bible tells us that each one of us tonight have sinned. The Bible tells us that we've fallen short of God's standard. The Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. The Lord Jesus Christ was pure. The Lord Jesus Christ was holy. And that was evidenced in the life that he lived before men. And it wasn't just his friends that would say that, you know, it was people that hated him that ultimately had to admit that this man was different. They had to admit that this man had done nothing wrong. Even the man that was responsible for sentencing him to death, he turns round to the crowd and he says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, I find no fault in this man. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. Absolutely nothing. You look at my life for 5 minutes tonight and you'll find plenty of things wrong. And I'm sure similarly I could look into your life for no more than 5 minutes and I'll find things wrong. But I want to tell you, men and women looked into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ for 33 years and they never found one single thing wrong with him. Absolutely sinless, absolutely pure, absolutely holy. The very man that was responsible for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. As the place was clothed in darkness, as Jesus Christ was punished for your sin and mine by his Father in heaven, he said, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was the Son of God. And so it wasn't just friends and family that thought that Jesus was different. It was people that hated him. And hated him without a cause. They had to admit this, that Jesus Christ was different. And so tonight, Jesus Christ is credible as the Son of God. And Jesus Christ proved that by the way he lived. Proved it by the miracles he carried out. And I'm sure if you've any knowledge of your Bible, you can think of the miracles that he conducted. Times when he would take people that were blind and give them back their sight again. Times when he could take to those who were lame and he could give them strength in their legs and he could make them walk again. Times when he could even take people that had died. A little girl that had passed away, that, you know, out of time. And yet Jesus Christ comes alongside them. Jesus takes her by the hand. And he says, little maid, I say to you, arise. And Jesus Christ, because of who he was, because he was the Son of God, he was able to bring life where there had been death. Able to bring sight where there had been blindness. Able to bring strength where there had been weakness. And Jesus Christ proved who he was by the life that he lived. And therefore, Jesus Christ is credible tonight to be taken by who he says he is. He's the Son of God. And one occasion, God opened the heavens and God said this. He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so tonight, when this man speaks, when Jesus speaks, when Jesus brings us this message, when Jesus tells us who he is tonight, then it is only right that we sit up and we take note, because this is none other than the Son of God speaking to us. And Jesus says to this group of people, and Jesus says to you this evening, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we have here tonight a door of salvation. And you might say to me, well, what do we need saved from tonight? What is it that we need to be, what is it we need to escape from? What is it that's hovering over us tonight that we need to be saved from? Well, I've already alluded to the fact tonight that you and I are totally different from Jesus Christ. I've already highlighted to you tonight the fact that he was sinless and spotless and pure and holy. I've already highlighted to you the fact that there was men looked at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and they say he did no sin. Others could say he could no, he knew no sin. Others could say he didn't even have the ability to sin, and neither he did. And you and I are totally different from that tonight. The Bible says about us, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that you and I, even the righteous, even the good things that we do are just like filthy rags in the sight of God. The Bible tells us that we have fallen far short of God's standard. You might say, well, what is God's standard? God's standard tonight is absolute perfection. And it's amazing to think, you know, that there are people when you come up tonight and they think they've reached it. They think they've reached God's standard. And there are people that I know down in Auchinleck and Ochiltree where I live. And they think, you know, they think that they're good enough for God. Because they've forgotten what God's standard is. God's standard is absolute perfection. I want you for a little moment in time here tonight, just to let you look into your own heart tonight and ask yourself the question, are you perfect? Is there anybody in here tonight that is going to have the audacity to stand up before God and say that they're perfect? I don't think so tonight. And I don't think there'd be many in our village tonight if we were to really probe them, we'd have to admit that they're perfect. You've fallen far short of God's standard, God's perfect standard. And because of that, you're a sinner. Every one of us tonight, without exception, from myself at the front to those sitting in the back row tonight, we've all sinned. Every single one of us. And that sin needs to be punished. And God tells us that. See, God's a holy horizon to behold iniquity. God can't even look upon sin. God finds sin so defiling, God finds sin so disgusting. And you and I enjoy it, you and I like it. You and I look at it and we find pleasure in it. God doesn't find any pleasure in sin. God absolutely detests it. God hates sin. And God must punish sin. And God's way of punishing sin is to send men and women to a lost eternity called hell forever and forever and forever. And tonight that is what you deserve. And that is what I deserve. When we stand before God and we admit, you know, that we've sinned before Him, and there's nothing that we can do that is going to, gain His approval. We've sinned. And as I've already said, even the good things that we do, God doesn't find pleasure in them. God says, look, they're just like filthy rags in my sight. And what do with filthy rags tonight? We just dispose of them, don't we? We just put them out. We just get rid of them. And realistically, you know, that's what God should do with us tonight. God should just put us aside. God could just send us to the lake of fire. God could just punish us for the sins that we have committed. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ stands and the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm the door. Him that cometh unto me, if anyone enter by me, he will be saved. Saved from your punishment of your sin tonight. Saved from that punishment that you deserve. Saved from hell. And I know that, you know, it's not a place that we like to think about, and there's people that don't like to think it exists. You know, this word that we've read from tonight, the word of God, God doesn't tell lies. God doesn't put things in there just to upset us. God doesn't put things in there just to frighten us. God puts things in there because it's true and it's real. And we read about hell in the Bible, and hell is a real place, and that is where you're heading tonight if your sins are not forgiven. And yet Jesus Christ stands and Jesus Christ says, look, I'm the door to salvation. You know, I want to notice what he says. He says, I am the door. He doesn't say, I am one of many doors. He doesn't say, I am a door. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. And sad to say that there's people in you coming up tonight, and perhaps some in this little room tonight, and you're trying all sorts of other ways to get salvation. You're trying all sorts of other ways to get your sins forgiven. You're trying all sorts of other ways to find approval with God. And God has made it plain and simple, and Jesus Christ has made it plain and simple. Jesus says, I am the door. No other door. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way. And yet people will keep going on looking and trying their hardest to try and find another way to God. And all the time Jesus is pointing out, look, I'm the way. I'm the door. If you want your sins forgiven tonight, if you want to be saved from that eternal judgment that you deserve, if you want to know forgiveness with God, then it only comes through one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other door. There is no other access to God except through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And if you disregard the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you disregard the Lord Jesus Christ as your means of salvation, then I want to say you're disregarding the only means of salvation available, and you will ultimately perish in a lost eternity forever. And you cannot stand and you cannot say that you've not been warned. Because I've warned you tonight, and I'm sure if you've heard the same message preached, you'll have been warned time and time and time again that Jesus Christ is the only Saviour for sinners. Jesus Christ is the only Saviour tonight. And Jesus Christ is offering you a way of salvation. Jesus Christ is offering you safety. Jesus Christ is offering you security. And that is all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And yet, people tonight, they're going to go out of here and you're going to look for it elsewhere. You're going to go out of here tonight and you're going to think that you're going to turn over a new leaf, and as of this meeting tonight, you're going to be a better person, and God is going to respect you for that, and God is going to forgive you for that. I don't want to burst your bubble tonight, but God will not. God isn't looking for you tonight to turn over a new leaf. God isn't looking for you tonight to try and become a better person. God isn't looking for you tonight to try and make the good things in your life outweigh the bad things. God isn't interested in all that tonight. God has provided a means of salvation. And that means is through the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be saved tonight, if you want your sins forgiven, then it comes through only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, what makes Jesus fit to be my Saviour? What makes Jesus fit to be the one that is going to forgive me for my sins? What makes Jesus Christ fit to be the one that saves me from going to hell and paying the punishment for my sins? Is it because of who He was? It is because of who He was. But it's more than that. It's because of what He done. When you think of the life the Lord Jesus Christ lived, and I'm not just thinking of what He did when He was here, and the fact that He gave blind people their sight, and He gave deaf people their hearing, and He gave the dead people their life back again. I'm thinking about what He did when He went to the cross at Calvary, because, you know, that's really where all the work was done. You know, all these other little miracles and things like that was just evidence to who He was. But Jesus Christ had came for one purpose, and that was to go to the cross at Calvary and there to lay down his life, a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. That sin that God can't overlook tonight, that sin in your life that God can't just ignore, that God can't just brush under the carpet and kid on it never existed, that can't just push to the back of his mind and kid on that you've never done it. God can't do that with your sin. You've done it. And maybe your friends and family can do it. And maybe your closest people that you know in this world can do it. But God can't do it. God can't just ignore your sin. God has to punish it. And we've already said that God can either punish you for it. God can either make you pay the price for the sins that you've committed. God can send you an eternal punishment in hell forever and forever to take the punishment that you deserve. Or God can provide another means of escape, and that is what he did at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, that is the purpose he was there. It was because he was taking the punishment for your sins and for mine. Not just a good man dying for what he believed in. Not just the first martyr of the Christian faith. Not just a man that was misunderstood and misguided and was crucified as a result of that. The whole purpose that Jesus Christ came was to go to the cross at Calvary and there to take the punishment for your sins and for mine. And that is our only means of salvation tonight. And that is why Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, is because of what he did at Calvary. And those sins that you've committed, sins that you would rather forget you've done. Those words that you've spoken that you wish you'd never spoken at all. Those thoughts that are in your mind that only you know, and you'd be so, so ashamed if anybody else knew them. Jesus Christ knows all about them, and yet Jesus Christ took the punishment for every single one. And Jesus Christ stands before you tonight and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you're looking for salvation tonight, Jesus Christ is offering it to you. And he's offering to you on the basis of what he did at Calvary and the fact that he took your sin and he took the punishment for it. But not only are we reminded that a door of salvation, but we're reminded tonight that a door separates. And you know, we're reminded that that door, that little wooden door there, separates us from outside. And you know, in our homes we've got doors that separate one room from another. And you know, Jesus Christ is no different to that. Jesus Christ separates. You know, Jesus Christ doesn't separate us tonight into those that are rich and those that are poor. He doesn't separate us into those who are intelligent and those who are less intelligent. He doesn't separate us tonight into our different colours of skin and our different nationality and all those kind of things. Because as far as God is concerned, we're all the same. And God tonight isn't interested if you are, you know, if you're rich or if you're poor. God isn't interested tonight that if you're intelligent and you've got a good education, or if you're a wee bit slow and haven't got a good education. And God isn't interested tonight if you've got money or if you haven't got money. God isn't interested in these things. And God doesn't divide us like that. But Jesus Christ does cause a division. Jesus Christ does cause separation. But Jesus Christ only separates us into two groups. He separates us into the group that have been saved. And he separates them from the ones that are still lost. And tonight this little room can be divided into two groups. Oh, I know there's numerous groups we could divide ourselves into. We could be males and females. We could be young. We could be old. We could be employed, unemployed. We could be rich. We could be poor. God's no interested. God splits us into two groups this evening. And God says there's those that's saved tonight. And there's those that's lost. I wonder tonight what category you fall into. Which group of people are you in tonight? Are you in those that are saved? Those that have known the experience of having their sins forgiven. Those who have known the experience of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Those who have known the experience of coming back into a right relationship with God through the work that Jesus Christ did in Calvary. I wonder if you're in the group tonight that is saved. Or I wonder if you're sadly still in the group that is lost. And lost and heading towards a lost eternity. You know your heart tonight. I know which group I fall into. I fall into the little group that is saved. And that's not because of anything I've done. It's not because of anything I've accomplished. It's not because of the way I was brought up. I fall into that category because when I was a boy of 12 years of age, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And I went from that category of being lost and destined for a lost eternity forever into the group of people that were saved and rejoicing in it and on our way to heaven. And tonight I want you to look into your own heart tonight, and I don't want you to shout out to me, because you know it's not really between you and me, it's between you and God tonight, but you know your heart. I wonder, are you in this group of people tonight that are saved, or are you in the group of people that are still lost? you know, it's only you that can move from one group to the other. You know, if I was here tonight and I had the ability to save you and to take you from a position of being lost into a position of being found, then, you know, I would do it. And I'm sure there are those in this room tonight, maybe nearer and dearer to you than I am, and I'm sure if they could save you, if they could forgive you, if they could, you know, if they could get you right with God, they would, but they can't tonight. They've done well in getting you here, and God will reward them for that, but, you know, they can't save you. There's only one person who can save you, and that is Jesus Christ, and that is a choice you have to make. You know, the Joshua said this, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's your choice. Who you're going to follow? Are you going to just keep on following yourself? Going to just keep on following your own desires? Just going to keep on following your own way of life? And ultimately spend it lost and away from God forever and forever and forever? Or are you going to choose tonight to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to choose to devote your life to Him, because that's what He's looking for tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking for those to devote themselves to Him, to become His disciples. You know, Jesus Christ isn't here tonight just looking for you to say a little prayer and to think that your sins are forgiven and then just to go and live your life the way you want. And sadly, that is happening all around us tonight. And people who are saying that they're so-called Christians, you know, their lives don't live up to the fact of what they're saying. And if you're a Christian tonight, then your life needs to be changed. Your life needs to be transformed. The Bible tells us that when you become a Christian, old things pass away and old things become new. The Bible tells us that you're a new creation altogether. You're totally and utterly different from what you are at the moment. And that choice is yours tonight, whether you choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or choose just to keep going the way you're going and run the risk of entering eternity away from God and Christ forever and forever and forever. And Jesus Christ tonight is looking for disciples. That's what He called His disciples to do before He left this world. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of them. You know, Jesus Christ wants you to be in it for, you know, the long haul. Not just interested in, you know, a little prayer and thinking that your life's all right. God is looking tonight for those who are real disciples of Jesus Christ. And so this little room tonight is separated. Jesus separates us from those who are lost to those who are saved. But not only that, we also read, didn't we, in John chapter 10 and verse 9 at the end there, it says that whosoever goes in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. Not only is this a door of salvation tonight, not only is this a door of separation that separates the lost from the saved, but you know, this is a door that brings satisfaction. You'll go in and out and find pasture. Maybe that's what you're looking for in life. Maybe you're looking for satisfaction. Maybe you've been trying 101 different things to try and find it. And we're all guilty of that at times. Maybe you've tried what this world's got to offer, just trying to fill that gap in your life. Because the reality is, we've all got a gap in our life. That's the way we're born. Because we're separated from God, we've got a big empty hole within us that needs to be filled. And people are trying to do it with 101 different things tonight. I wonder what you're trying to do it with. What are you trying to find satisfaction in tonight? For some people, it's trying to find it in money. For some others, it's trying to find it in family. For some others, it's trying to find it in relationships. For some others, it's trying to find it in habits and addictions and all these sort of things. Just trying to cram as much into that little void to try and fill it up and feel satisfied. And time and time and time again, you're left disappointed because none of these are going to satisfy you. And your family will not satisfy you, and relationships don't satisfy you, and family doesn't satisfy you, and money doesn't satisfy you, and addictions don't satisfy you, and habits don't satisfy you. And you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking through all these things and you're thinking, I've done them all, and you're sitting here just as empty as you were when you started. You're still needing satisfied. And Jesus Christ says, whosoever comes to me, He says, he'll go in and out and he'll find pasture. You want true satisfaction tonight, you'll find it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because right now in your heart, there is a space that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. A space that can only be filled by coming back into a right relationship with God. And so tonight, if you're in here and you've been trying to fill that, you know, it's as if, you know, it's like there's only one bit of the jigsaw and there's only one thing that's going to fit in it. And I'm sure as a child, I've got four little children and they love doing jigsaws. And it's quite amusing seeing them, you know, as they get the jigsaws and, you know, they try and force the bit of jigsaw in where it's not supposed to go. And that's just a kindly reminder of what we try to do in life sometimes. There's a jigsaw-shaped piece in your life and you're trying to push the wrong shape of jigsaw into it and it's not going to fit. And Jesus Christ is the only bit that's going to fit, and you want satisfaction tonight. You want to know a peace, you want to know rest, you want to know joy, you want to know satisfaction tonight. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He does satisfy. He'll satisfy more than you can even imagine. And if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. So tonight we have a door of salvation, and we're all needing it tonight. We're all needing saved. If we've never trusted Jesus as our Saviour, we're still lost, still heading towards a lost eternity. Jesus Christ presents Himself as a Saviour. A door that separates us tonight. And this little group, as we're sat here in this room tonight, we're separated from one another because there are some who are lost and there are some who are saved. A door that separates, ultimately tonight, a door that can satisfy you. You're needing satisfaction tonight. Jesus Christ stands before you and presents Himself as the door, and He says, all those that come in through Him, He says, they can go in and out and they'll find pasture. They'll find satisfaction. And salvation tonight is easy to obtain. Jesus says, I'm the door. He says, enter by me. You've entered 101 doors in your life. You've entered two to come into this very building. Jesus says, enter by me. And your sins will be forgiven. Your soul will be saved. And you'll be satisfied. Not only for now and time, but Jesus Christ promises to satisfy you in a long eternity in heaven. It's your choice tonight. You do with what Jesus says. Do it as you please. But I urge you tonight, sit up and take note. When Jesus speaks, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall we pray? Father, as we come into your presence, we just come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we do thank you for this one that we've been able to preach tonight. We just thank you for this one who presents himself as the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We just thank you that there's no ifs or buts or maybes when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes a promise that if we enter in through Him, then we shall be saved. We think of the words that we were singing as we commenced our meeting, standing on the promises of Christ my King. And Father, here is a promise that He has made to each and every one of us, that if we enter, then we shall be saved. Father, we just pray for those in our room tonight who have maybe never trusted the Lord Jesus, those who have never known salvation, those who have never experienced getting right with God. We just pray that tonight, before this little meeting comes to a close and they leave this room, that tonight they would trust Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We do ask and pray. We do think at the moment we're gathered here tonight and we're a divided company. There are those of us in this room tonight who are saved and bound for heaven. There are those tonight who are lost and heading towards a lost eternity. Father, we do pray that before we leave this little room tonight, that we all might be united in this, that we're all saved and bound for heaven. We do ask and pray. Give deciding grace to those in this room tonight who need it, we do pray, as we ask it in Jesus' precious name.